I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
Tops Barbecue. See the smoke, taste the flavor. Every Monday about this time, we gave out respect. Not in the form of flowers, but in the form of burgers. Tops Burgers. Let's do it.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me.
Sizzling Respect Burgers. Served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
Thought very long and hard about who I'm giving these Respect Burgers to this week. I want to make sure, John, that the folks were most deserving. You know, you never want this thing to get so watered down that you're giving, like, Raiders a Respect Burger for beating the Philadelphia Eagles or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
That. Yeah.
Because if you do that, then it starts to lose the significance. You know what I'm saying?
Damn right.
The Respect Burgers aren't as special. You just start giving one out to anybody.
Bro, right.
So Raiders, Raiders got more work to do.
You
don't interrupt me on my segment.
We don't need it from you. So how's that, pal?
You prep this segment.
How's
that? This is not John's.
Yeah. We don't need it from you, nor do we want it. Go ahead.
Well, that's like you coming in here and telling us that Halo ain't no good.
Oh, I didn't say that.
No, we don't need that either, do we?
I think you're confusing me with the 4 p.m.
show. With your new hot take on Alo.
The 4 p.m. show would have put Alo at San Jose State 3 years ago. So I say there's still a spot for him on the roster.
Well, there's somebody on that roster who I think is most deserving of Respect Burger because you hear very little about him unhappy with his role. Now, I will say this. His role hadn't changed much because every time he's been at, he's filled it. And he does his job. He was doing it again on Sunday against Lemoyne Owens. I think he's going to do it this season. John once said he would be up for Conference Player of the Year this year. We shall see about that. But I'm giving a Respect Burger, a big old fireman burger, to Lester Quinones.
Respect.
Put some respect on his name. Put some respect on his name.
Ooh.
Now, John was writing about the season Lester Quinones was going to have this year, last year.
Facts.
He was doing this 8 months ago.
So ahead
he
of
told
it.
You this was coming,
way
that he'd be doing it with the new body, that he would be more athletic. He
Facts.
Saw this coming long before we ever could
no
or
doubt.
Did.
Prophet.
Understand that.
Prophet.
Paul
but
Revere,
here
bro.
We are. And last night, it's more like yesterday afternoon. It's a weird little 4 o'clock game. 20 points in 18 minutes. 7 of 8 field goals. 5 of 6 from 3, part of a 13 of 20 effort from 3 for the Tigers. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 1 turnover, 1 foul, all in 18 minutes. He just fills up the box. And what happens, John? What happens when he does this? He gets no preseason accolades. He gets no postseason accolades this year. So I figure it's just high time somebody around here put some respect on Lester Quinones' name besides John Martin.
Agreed.
How do you feel about that?
Love it. Glad it happened.
Now, based on what we saw against Lemoyne, would you like to double down on your prediction that Lester will win AAC Conference Player of the Year?
I think he's got a chance. I think he's got a chance. Absolutely. I really do. Especially, you know, like if certain things break a certain way.
Well, if Nolly leaves or if everybody else leaves, is that what the kind of breaks you're talking about?
Yeah.
I will say, he also heads your defense, man. Just the importance of Lester Quinones to this team. To me, it was just a guy that's just going to go out there and do his job. And a lot of times, we don't give those guys the burgers, Brett. We don't give those guys the flowers, the guys that just come to work and do their job every day. Sometimes, Brett, they're the most valuable. Why? because they're always available and always doing the job for you. And I feel like Lester Quinones just comes to work with his hard hat on every single stinking day. Hopefully he's going to do it every day for the Tigers as a star this year. All right, number two, no Raiders.
Respect.
I'm going to the NFL, and some of you Titans fans feel like you should be getting one for beating KC, but I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Last week, more so for the Titans, because you beat the real team in the Bills. KC's got to get it together. They're broken. My NFL respect burger will go to the Cincinnati Bengals. After a 41-17 win at Baltimore, there's reason to believe that this isn't just a nice little story here. And it starts with Joe Burrow. They outscored. Nobody had Cincinnati yesterday. Everybody had this Ravens team that had seemed to have gotten back on track. They outscored the Ravens 28-7 in the second half. They basically did to the Ravens what the Ravens do to other people. Ran the ball on them. Were the more physical team on defense. They were getting after Lamar.
Yeah.
Five sacks. Joe Burrow, ladies and gentlemen. That dude threw three picks against the Bears. I still don't know how they lost that game. Yesterday against the Baltimore Ravens, a much better team than the Bears. He goes 23 of 38 for 416, three touchdowns and one interception. And you know who 201 in terms of yards, 201 yards of that went to was Ja'Marr Chase, who, ladies and gentlemen, eight catches on 10 targets yesterday, 201 yards, one touchdown, it was a long one, 82 yards. And Ja'Marr Chase, his former teammate at LSU.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, get it out. Finish. Go ahead.
Don't interrupt me.
We know the motivations behind this.
Because we know what we need right now is some drum roll, because we've never seen it before in our lives.
We haven't.
Ja'Marr Chase has the NFL record for rookie receiver for yards through seven games.
It's never happened.
Nobody's ever done it better than Ja'Marr Chase through seven games in terms of yards, John. I'm not just bringing this up because he's a member of my fantasy team. That's the best we've ever seen.
It's a big part of it.
It's never happened.
Do you understand that? 754 yards this year. This season, it's second only to Cup, and it's the most we've ever seen for a rookie receiver through seven games. This man cold.
Yeah.
And he's already this year ahead of, in terms of receiving yards, I told you he's second in the league this year, ahead of Devontae Adams, ahead of Deebo Samuel, ahead of Tyreek Hill. Ja'Marr is a big reason the Cincinnati Bengals are doing what they're doing. But I told you, defensively, five sacks of Lamar Jackson, held Baltimore to 5.5 yards per play while they averaged 8.3. They're now 3-1 on the road, first in the AFC North, and would be, again, we mentioned this earlier a little bit as a joke, but it's true right now, they'd be the number one seed in the AFC right now. The Cincinnati Bengals are no longer the Bungles. They are real, and they will take your cookies if you allow them to. Baltimore did yesterday, 41-17. I got nothing but respect for what Cincinnati's doing right there. All right, next up.
Respect.
You could give Ja Morant a respect burger like after every game so far this season. Certainly for the weekend in which Staples, I tweeted about, he averaged 34, 68 points over two games. He was phenomenal last night. You could absolutely give it to him. But I'm going to give a respect burger to somebody on the other side. Take a guess who it's for. No, it's not for your king.
I give up.
LaMelo.
Close, yes.
Not LaMelo. Yeah.
We knew what your heart meant.
Melo.
And that's exactly
that
right.
Melo.
That's right. Because last night, a throwback game, 28 points, and what does he do? He passes Moses Malone for number 9 on the all-time scoring list. And really, it's the whole story is the reason I think, you know, you tip your cap to Carmelo.
I give it to him.
We're just talking about a couple of years ago, the league didn't even want him.
No.
League didn't want him. League was done with him.
Coming off the bench, reinventing himself, shooting.
100% at 37 years old, this dude is still. And last night, they needed every one of those 28 points. He led them in scoring. I think had 12 in the final period to help them hold off
he's a bucket.
The hard-charging Grizzlies. He's a bucket. He's been that his entire career. But even when the league said, we're tired of just the bucket, you know, you don't affect winning enough. He's found a way to come back, sort of reinvent himself. I stop short of calling it a reinvention because he's doing what he always did. He's spotting up. He's hitting you with that old pump fake. He got us with it a bunch of times yesterday. But he found a way to get back and to make himself a commodity again. I don't know if it's going to end up with a title for the Lakers because, boy, you look at them and they are old. I don't know if they're going to hold up. But Carmelo coming back to now move up to number 9 on the all-time scoring list. Like we said, last night passes Moses Malone. You can't do nothing but tip your cap, especially, again, Anthony was talking about it after the game, Anthony Davis. LeBron James, just a couple of years ago, the league didn't want him. Comes back after a couple of years in Portland is back. Here's why I bring this up, too. Because Carmelo Anthony at number 9 right now in terms of NBA all-time scorers, 27,423 points. Shaq's at 28,596. So if you look at this, Carmelo probably going to finish 8th. He can move up even more. He can get up to – I don't think he'll catch Wilt. I know he won't at 31,000 points. But Carmelo probably in good position because if you add it all up, last year he scored 924 points over 69 games, averaged around 13 points a game for Portland. Year before that, 895. The days of Carmelo scoring in the thousands long behind. But what he can do is give you 1,000 for a season.
Right.
And if he does that, let's just go a little short. Give him 900 just as sort of an in-between of the last 2 years. That would put him just a couple hundred shy of tying Shaq. So next year, if he put up 900 this year, next year he could pass Shaq for 8th most points in NBA history. Again, will he win a title, his first ever with the Lakers? Who knows? He's still trying to win that, but he's probably going to end up 8th on the scoring list. And to do it after the league would look like it was almost done with you, pretty darn impressive. So give old Carmelo Anthony a respect burger, even though it hurt me seeing him be at that Grizz killer that he always is last night. And then finally, it's a guy that I've been name dropping on John Martin for a while, and he's going to see him firsthand in not this week, but next week. His name?
Man, stop.
Do you know the transfer from Oklahoma who I speak of?
Respect.
No, you thought I was talking about somebody else.
No, I thought.
You're going to see him in a couple of weeks over there at, what's the name of the stadium now in the middle of Orange Mound?
I thought you were giving Giannotto a respect burger for his fantasy
Simmons
team.
No. Bank Liberty Stadium.
Good job, Brad. You're gonna do that for us in this show because you do it so smoothly and you never mess it up. But he'll be coming to town.
He's coming.
His name is Tanner Mordecai, John.
Mordecai. You've been talking about this man for 20 years.
55-26, SMU over Tulane. Who said from day one this man was special? Who said it, John?
I'm assuming Sonny Dykes.
No, Tanner Mordecai. Me, fool.
I know, but Sonny Dykes probably said the same thing, right? Is he still at SMU? Yeah, he is.
Sonny Dykes is at SMU.
Yeah.
SMU is now up 2 spots to number 19. They are 7-0 after a thrashing of Tulane over the weekend. Tanner Mordecai, number 1 in the country in touchdown passes, what's sitting at 29. And now, after a game with Houston, we're going to see him up close and personal right here against Memphis in a couple after Memphis does a bye week. It's a respect burger I've had for him for a long time, but they're sitting there because of Cincinnati, because of everything else, SMU having a hell of a season where they're not getting much love. Again, they can fix that themselves, take care of business against Houston. Memphis is obviously down this year. You'll get a shot against Cincinnati in the AAC title game, but a transfer from Oklahoma, Tanner Mordecai, been a hell of a player for an SMU team that's up to number 19. Give the young man a respect burger. That's all I got for this week.
Respect.
Which leads me to, unfortunately, it's going to be difficult in some ways, but it has to be done, at least addressed, and there was really no natural way to do it. Because we were obviously focused on a lot of other things. And look, I know everybody at this level is trying their best. Okay, I do. I understand that. And so I want to preface this by saying that. I could give it to Oregon. I could give it to Oregon by being janky with the grades or whatever it is going on with Chandler Lawson. I could give it to them. But I think the winner of this week's edition of the Disrespect Dog, and in some ways it pains me because it's not necessarily his fault. But Peter Parrish.
The fourth string quarterback is a disrespect dog, John.
You know, he was the starter on Friday. And
wow.
When I was watching him play, it reminded me of that scene from, I think it was Billy Madison, maybe, where the game show host basically says, "I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul." That is how I felt watching Peter Parrish play quarterback for the university. of Memphis. I'm sorry. This is what he said. Mr. Madison, what you have just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. That is how I felt. Like, if you change a couple words there, that basically was the Peter Parrish experience on Friday night. Four interceptions, including the rare, never-before-seen double pick. My man got intercepted twice in one play. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. But that is the night, and that was the night for Peter Parrish. It is a reminder. It is a stone-cold reminder of how bad it can be at quarterback in college football. You know, you got sort of – you got fattened up on Paxton Lynch, on Brady White, on Riley Ferguson. Now, I know that Peter Parrish was the four-string quarterback, but that was – I'm sorry. That was grotesque. It just was.
You don't put any of that on the staff or the plan or anything like that?
But
poor kids out there
running
around.
We just have to be honest about the performance, man. We just have to be honest about it. It was about as bad as it could have gone, you know? There is some sympathy.
I guess the plan to me seemed like it should have been a little bit better. Even if you think, okay, all the way up till game time, Seth's still looking pretty good. You had to have a secondary plan, knowing that it could get to this. You know that you could have him out there. He was not good. I can't sit up here and spin it positive for the kid, but I did feel for him there at the end of the game when he's just looking up in the cloud. He'd been beat down pretty much all game.
He was looking up at the clouds.
Looking like wanting to get away. Like,
he was looking for an answer.
Well, I saw it on Justin Fields' face yesterday, too, when the Bears, he just getting knocked around wondering if it's ever going to change, you know? And so there's some of that. Wasn't all Peter Parrish losing that game out there, but no, it was not good, bro. It was not. And I'll tell you what. The defense kept them in the game.
Yep, it did.
A defense much maligned at it, but I'd seen something the last couple of weeks. We talked about before the game. You'd seen the improvement against Navy this week. It was, you were in the game because of that defense. They were making some plays, but you just did not have.
I mean,
you're down to your fourth stringer.
I think I assigned one too many interceptions to him. I think he only threw three, but it felt like four, didn't it? Like on that double one, so that kind of counts as
two
interceptions.
You can't count the double one as no.
That was amazing. Like, that was impressive. Like,
I don't like that you're laughing about this.
Is
that
like
all you can do at this point?
It was a laughably bad performance. I'm sorry. Like, yes, there's blame going around. But I'm sorry. That was just bad. Bad.
Even Calvin Austin, like, made a bad decision on a punt this time.
Yeah.
He had one of the turnovers. So, it just all went in. And unfortunately, a defense that played well last couple of weeks just, you know.
Yep.
You didn't have enough offensively to help them out.
We'll come back. Jason Fitz on the other side. Jason and John, out of town.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
FM, ESPN. Show me some. That's another set, cause I be running through. Jason Fitz gets lit on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. with Fitz Sips. He's on Twitter at Jason Fitz. Catch him on Spain and Fitz. He's all over ESPN. Joins us every single Monday. We're so glad he does. He joins us now. Buddy, it feels really good today, doesn't it?
I mean, some things hit different. This is the one thing I'd say, because I know a lot of people, everybody knows my Raiders fandom, and I know that the last couple of years they've started hot and they've ended not so hot. But the one thing that I think we should be looking at for our favorite teams, and it doesn't matter, any sport, this applies. You don't just want your favorite team to win. You want your favorite team to be really stinking good, because then you know week in and week out that it's consistent, right? So, like, anybody can have one given Sunday or, you know, in the NBA, one given night where you win. The question is, when you watch it with the dreaded eye test, what's your team look like? It's two straight weeks in a row that the Raiders have been far better than their opponent, which makes Sundays heck of a lot of fun. Been a long time since I've seen this sort of relaxing. Like, I was scrolling through my phone in the fourth quarter because I didn't have to be as dialed in, and I was like, what is this life like? Mm-hmm. Now I know what Patriots fans felt like for a whole generation. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on now.
Yeah, it is basically.
Pats fans?
It's a dynasty. We are building a
good
dynasty.
Good Lord.
There.
Well, no, I just know, you know, in general, like, the Raiders are nowhere near that. But let's be real, like, Patriots fans know what it feels like to just turn on a game and be like, I'm going to put my feet up and watch it.
Sure.
It's going to be fun, you know? Like, I don't know that logic.
Yeah. You deserve that.
Yeah, and now we do. I guess the last thing on the Raiders before we move on to the rest of the NFL this weekend, is it too soon to say or to speculate that John Gruden was weighing down this team and that they are better off without him?
I'm not sure that I'll ever buy that they're better off like he was weighing them down. But I will say this. Jonathan Vilma was on the call yesterday, and he, you know, from his time working at ESPN, we've been buddies, and I thought he made – a really good observation. I was texting him afterwards about it. You know, at some point, what's happened here, this is the thing that we hear so often for NFL teams. With Greg Olsen taking over as offensive coordinator, the first thing he did is walk in the room and basically eliminate a third of the playbook. It was like, hey, we're just going to get rid of all of these weird formations. We're going to get rid of all this trickery, and we're going to focus on doing what we do really, really well. And you all know my fandom of food TV. One of the things they constantly tell chefs that are trying to, you know, get to win a competition is edit yourself, simplify it a little bit, make sure that you're only using the ingredients you have to use. That's what the Raiders have done on the offensive side of the ball, and it's made them better, I think, because at the end of the day, for certain teams, the more control you have, the less you're thinking when you come up to the line of scrimmage, the better off you are just being able to execute. And that's what we're seeing from the Raiders offensively.
At what point are we sounding the alarm on the when we'll get to Titans and the rest of what point are we sounding the alarm on the Chiefs? And since we're in the AFC West, because this is starting to look like something that could go on throughout the season. Bad defense, a turnover-prone offense.
Yeah, so you guys know that I've been really consistent every week saying, hey, I'm not worrying yet. I'm now officially looking at it and saying, wait, at some point we have body of evidence to this year. And the body of evidence to this year says the fact. And the fact is, I'm not sure this Chiefs team's really all that good. And some years are just going to be that, but that's what we're witnessing right now. I'm stunned to be saying that, but at some point you got to look at it and say, yeah, do they have all the elements? Can they put it together and win 10 straight? Sure, but every week are we going to continue saying this is the week they put it together? No, their defense is not good enough. Their offense is pressing too hard. Patrick Mahomes has become turnover prone this year, and that's weird in and of itself to say. So, now all of a sudden you just got to look around and say, okay, what's real? And what's real right now is that if you just look at the last month, the Chiefs are the third best team in their division.
Have you allowed yourself on the other side of that to start to believe in these Titans now with back-to-back wins over the not just the Chiefs who are struggling, but the Bills as well?
Yeah, I think this has been a statement. And, you know, sometimes, again, we'll go back to the eye test portion of it. Sometimes you're just looking at it and saying, I'm waiting for things to come together. And that's exactly what's happened right now for the Titans. I mean, their defense needed to be able to play competently for them to win. That wasn't happening early in the season. It is happening now. Their offensive line has had a ton of different players have to come in and step in, and it hasn't held them back. And frankly, Derrick Henry is not only right now, in my mind, a surefire Hall of Famer, he's the MVP this year. And, you know, when you've got the MVP playing the way he's playing, you can do whatever you want to do, and that's exactly what they did to the Chiefs. And, you know, I think the Bills win is a bigger win, but the fact that they've done them back-to-back is just proof positive that this is it. Right now, if I was going to bet today – on the AFC, in my power rankings, I still have Buffalo number one because I think they're so stinking talented. But I'd have the Titans at number two.
Look, I feel like we have to go back to the Chiefs for a minute because this is like this is bizarre to me. This is a team that we all crowned, right, even before the Super Bowl last year. If you were going to talk to the average person and say, all right, pick one franchise over the next 5 years that you just believe has a chance to win the whole thing every single year, I think the majority of people, including myself, would have said the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the same offense. This is the same Patrick Mahomes, the same Tyreek Hill, the same Travis Kelce. They went out and they upgraded the offensive line. That was the problem in the Super Bowl. And I know defense is the problem, but they didn't have a touchdown yesterday. So I guess my question is, how does it go from looking perhaps like they're going to terrorize the NFL for years and years and years on end to now they can't even score a touchdown against the worst secondary in the NFL?
Yeah, part of that is focus. And part of that is just, you know, momentum. Like, I think at the end of the day, the Chiefs have been able to do so much. It's been so unstoppable. But I think part of what we have to acknowledge, too, is that Tampa Bay sort of gave a little bit last year of, hey, here's how I think you beat defensively, how you hold Patrick Mahomes down a little bit. And that works. And right now, you know, part of what you have to accept with Mahomes is that if you can get after him with four and drop everybody else in coverage, it makes it tougher for him to figure out what to do. But the Chiefs have also spent a couple of years winning the 50-50 ball battle over and over and over again. And we always talk about how turnovers are going to normalize. I think what we're seeing right now is that's normalizing from over the last couple of years. So, you know, all of that plays into where the issue is, but it doesn't fix easily because the Chiefs, frankly, have their fair share of issues on the offensive line as well. So, you know, I don't know what fixes it right now, and it just feels like they've sent themselves down the rabbit hole. And I was willing to excuse some of the losses, like losing to the Ravens in a close game. That can happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. But, man, when it starts to look this way, now it's like, okay, there's a real issue, and that's where we are with it.
It feels like the only thing we can really count on year after year after year is Tom Brady. And it was about the most predictable thing in the world that he was going to come out after last year, forgetting what down it was and losing to the Bears, that he was going to make mincemeat of them, and that's exactly what happened. You know, I know there's a lot of competition, and there's a lot of different teams maybe that you could go with, but, you know, you have to say again, like, Bucks could repeat. Like, do you not feel like they're the favorites right now?
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing. The Bucks, I think, right now, if I had to make a power ranking in the NFC, and it's funny because this is so disrespectful to the Cardinals, but I just believe in the Rams. I mean, I believe in the coaching. I believe in the players. I believe in the defensive talent. But their defensive side of the ball has not looked as good, and the Rams also have had their own issues. So I want to say that the Rams and Cowboys belong in that conversation when it comes to Super Bowls. But right now, I think, yes, it's hard to bet. If you're going to bet today, if I'm going to put money on the line, I'm going to bet on a coach and a quarterback that I trust with a good defense. Like, that's the blueprint, right? And Tampa Bay still has that. And I don't trust the coach for the Cowboys to not blow it, obviously. I think you could ask some questions about the way the defense is playing right now for the Rams, and I feel stupid saying that. But, again, it's just real to what's actually happening this year. So, you know, I think, obviously, that Tampa Bay should be in that conversation, but – these playoffs are going to be wild because there are some good teams.
You mentioned on the other side, on the AFC, back to it real quick, that you got Bills and Titans there, 1 and 2. Where's Cincinnati now fall in? You got the Raiders there sitting there, too, at 5 and 2. I know you guys are feeling good, and playoffs certainly feels like at this point looking good for the where's Cincinnati? Is this a nice little story, or is this something, you know, are they going to win the North? Is this something that's going to continue on through the season?
It's hard for me to imagine it continuing on for the season, but also – like, I kind of have to just, you know, I got to fall on the sword a little bit here and say, is that brand bias? Like, I said coming into the year, I thought Cincinnati would be a fringe playoff team. And I thought that was giving them a lot of benefit of the doubt. But, my God, I mean, there's a matchup. And you know, I was talking to Jordan Cornette, who's one of our ESPN personalities, works for the ACC Network, and a big, lifelong, diehard Cincinnati fan. And we were talking this morning on the set of Sports Nation, and he said, you know, like, we got to be real here. November 21st. The Bengals go to Vegas to take on the Raiders. Like, I think that's going to be a massive playoff seeding matchup. And that's weird to say, y'all. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. The Bengals offense right now is the same as the best off. Look across the league, whether it's the Cardinals, the Bengals, the Titans, the Raiders. When you start talking about the big offenses right now, they can beat you in so many ways. And just the fact that Joe Burrow has come in with such control, understands what he's doing with the ball. Ja'Marr Chase has been lights out. And frankly, Zach Taylor's done a nice job as a coach. Like, I think Cincinnati's ahead of schedule. They're a playoff team.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. Join us every single Monday here on the show. You know, in terms of the Cardinals, too, I mean they're undefeated. You know, I mean, they are freaking 7-0, and they're stacked on both sides of the ball. But it kind of feels like we kind of gloss over them. Is there any particular reason you think we do that?
Yeah, I think because so many people, like, brand bias towards individuals is really hard to reverse. So, like, it took a long time for everybody to jump on the Josh Allen train. It took a long time for everybody to jump on the Lamar Jackson train. And once they did, then everybody now starts over effusive with the praise for everything they do. It's like you're trying to correct it, right? I think that's what's happening with Cliff Kingsbury, because a lot of people were flat out laughing at Cliff Kingsbury and saying, oh, this guy's not capable of being an NFL head coach, and he's going to run him into the ground, and Kyler Murray's only going to be okay. And, you know, I think the problem is people are still waiting for that to be the case, because that was the preconceived notion of what it was going to be when they came in. So, you know, again, the Cardinals can beat you from anywhere. And when their defense is playing incredibly well, it is great. They've had a couple of games this year where their defense has been lights out. So I think the defense needs to be a little more consistent. But the argument on the Cardinals is just going to be, can you spread wide and run this sort of modern run and shoot and win a playoff game? And there's a bunch of old people covering the NFL that don't think you can. And I'm not sure yet. I just don't think we know.
And then, Fitzy, in your eyes, who's been the biggest disappointment so far? I guess we're, what, about 40% of the way through the season? And do the Miami Dolphins make that list?
No, the Dolphins make that list, but the biggest disappointment, I mean, really, I don't care what they did yesterday. The Patriots are not a great football team. And we spent a lot of time giving a ton of benefit of the doubt to the Patriots' ability to get it right this year, because they're spending all this money. Everything's going to be A-okay, and then you look at it and say, or not, you know? And that's where I think the Patriots are a massive disappointment. Yeah, I thought the Dolphins were going to be a playoff competitor, but realistically, we put all of our stock in Bill Belichick's ability to do whatever we want. And at this point, I think it's only fair to say, hey, the Patriots are not as good as we expected. I'm not sure the Patriots look like even if they go on a run, they don't look like a playoff team. So, while Tom's out here winning Super Bowls, do the Patriots have their guys? Are they in the right position? I don't know. So I think that it's fair to criticize the great one.
Yeah, we have two superstars here in Memphis. Obviously, Jason Smith, but now Ja Morant.
Yes.
I mean, the way that this guy has approached the beginning of year three, 40-10, no, he missed a free throw. No, the Grizzlies lost the game. But his star power is undeniable. I guess what is next for him, Fitz? Now he's the odds-on favorite for most improved player in Vegas, and that was he had a great league year last year. They had two playoff games at home. What's next for Ja Morant on his ascent into stardom?
Well, look, I think there's not a lot of ascent left. I think Ja is one of the special players that's going to become a household. He's already a household name, but he's going to become a daily highlight reel. What's next? Is can he recruit guys, right? Like, because that's what the next step is for everything. Is as the league falls in love with Ja Morant and other players fall in love with Ja Morant, players will want to play with Ja Morant, and that's the way you build teams. I mean, Memphis has got to worry about two things, essentially. One, making sure that whatever Ja gets, wants he gets, so that he can continue to feel really good about his situation there, because he's going to get paid, and we all know it. But then number two is, how do you turn around and use all of the momentum that comes from playing around Ja Morant to get the guys in that can help you win a bunch of games? And it's not easy, y'all. Like, we take the Suns for granted. Like, the Suns were a young team that everybody thought was going to be sort of a middling team, and then they get the electric, incredible year from Chris Paul last year, and all of a sudden the Suns are in the national conscience, and everybody's saying, this is what everybody wants to do. Yeah, but it's not easy to do. Like, you've got to get the right group of young players combined with some veteran presence that can have a career year. Memphis can absolutely do that. The question is the hows, the whys, the whens, and can Ja recruit guys to come in and want to do anything they can to play there? That's the biggest next step for Ja Morant.
And then on the other side of that, real quick, Fitzy, because they're the favorite, what do you think about the Lakers and sort of, at least in the West they are, what do you think about where they're at? How long do you give them in the season before you're worried about them, right? They'd lost every preseason game, the two to start the year before, edging the Grizzlies last night. They look old out there. I mean, it took Carmelo Anthony, you know, doing a throwback game last night, 28, to get them by. Do you not worry about them until 20, 25 games in? What do you think of this old Lakers team?
I'm worried about them right now, and I think they're getting too much benefit of the doubt, y'all. Like, I think we're looking at it saying, look at this lineup, but like we always say in the NFL side, we're not playing video games here. So, like, this is real basketball, and wear and tear in their bodies is going to be an issue. So the fact that out of the gates they look slow and old, like, that's not what anybody expected. And you know, I know that LeBron and AD are so good that it won't matter once they get to the playoffs. That's going to be the argument for everybody. But, again, the Lakers are exactly today who they were a year ago. If those two guys are healthy, they'll be just fine. But as everybody around them gets older and older and older, health becomes a bigger and bigger concern. So I'm already looking at the Lakers sort of side-eye, like, you knew it was going to be weird this year. And, like, it's like when you're going to a high school reunion and you know the one guy might be a little weird, and all of a sudden in the first 5 minutes they act weird. You're like, yep, this is exactly what I thought we were going to get. So I think there's a problem with the Lakers.
I want to say before we get out of here how disgusted I am that you decided to basically – I didn't know what you were building over there. I didn't know what you were doing. But you decided basically to start the entire Raiders offense against me, and you somehow had the foresight that Josh Jacobs was not going to play in the second half. And now I'm very much at risk of losing to you in fantasy, despite you deciding not even to start a defense.
I couldn't start a defense because there was nothing out there that I could be sure wasn't going to lose me points, and I didn't want to get rid of the defense I had. So I was like, you know what, forget it. I'll just take a wash at the defense. But let me tell you something. I was smart yesterday afternoon when I was a little bit scared and I played in four fantasy leagues and I went into all of them and I said, you know what? Foster Moreau's going to have a good day.
Man.
Acquired Foster Moreau across the board, put him in. Woo! Got them 18 points. Let's go, baby!
Now, I am up seven. I am up seven and Geno Smith is still quarterbacking for the Seattle Seahawks. So I'm not dead. Although I am prone, okay? I am prone right now.
Geno Smith, and I think my one guy left to play is Tyler Lockett,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. So Geno Smith is going to throw touchdowns to who?
DK Metcalf.
No, come on.
He's going to throw touchdowns to DK Metcalf, man. That's what's going to happen.
I'm gonna need DK to throw a touchdown to Tyler. Now we're talking. Then all of a sudden we've got a system.
Finish him off, Fitzy.
You're cooking. Hey, Fitz, man, appreciate your time
as
always. Thank you, man.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Yeah, it is Jason Fitz. Joins us every single Monday here on the show. That's the thing, man. Sometimes, you know, you give it your best in fantasy and it's just not enough, man. It's a frustrating game. It's a frustrating thing. And I'm on the brink right now. I still like my team. I'm still fine. I got Stephon Diggs. I got Justin Jefferson. I got Mike Evans. I'm fine. But, you know, it's a battle every single week, man. It's a battle.
Worried about you. I think this will be – those sound like famous last words. You know, things you say before
again,
that last loss that pretty much puts you out of the playoff.
Well, I'll be 3-4. I won't be out of it by any stretch. Yeah. I mean, I'll just be battling every single damn week, which I'd rather just have it locked up, you know.
Good luck at the bottom.
The bottom is Drew Hill. Let's be very clear about that. The bottom is Drew Hill. Drew Hill has one of the worst teams I have ever seen. And we've seen some bad ones from Brad. But this one takes the cake by far. And Drew Hill tries. That's the thing. Drew Hill actually tries. So he's got to get that fixed. We'll come back, wrap this thing up here on a Monday. Jason and John, 92.9 FM. Yes.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.